you are coming back to your hometown of Des Moines next week. Do you get back here often?
I do, but not for a couple of years. There's the occasional reunion, which one can't miss, and then I've been back for the retirement of my high school drama teachers, and I came back, I guess, for an Avid event a few years back. So I love coming home.
Are there any must-see, must-do, must-eat type of things when you come back to Des Moines or to Iowa?
Well, for me, the first is to stay with the Lamsons. Those are my high school drama teachers. A visit to Valley High School always makes me happy. A little drive through Rest Haven Cemetery to see the swans and visit the graves of some people I lost along the way. Love to go by the Des Moines Community Playhouse where I did a lot of plays. Little tour through Valley West Mall to see if any of the shops are still there that I used to follow girls around in, or you know, where I scooped ice cream. So that's I'd love to pass by the childhood home, of course. Yeah, there's a lot actually.
I was gonna say, man, I didn't expect quite a list.
Sorry, that's a great question. I've been asked a lot of questions promoting this book, but never one that tasty.
Well, it's always kind of fun to, you know, when folks move off and live in New York now, it's kind of neat to see what it is folks miss about Des Moines and about Iowa when they come home.
Well, I think there's something about when you're young, everything is very vivid and there's so much possibility, and you get to a certain age and you find yourself nostalgic, but also you had some of your greatest, at least I did, you know, friendships and you know, most vivid, as I used that word before, memories. So coming home is just, I've been really looking forward to this trip.
Well, you are coming to promote the new book, The Heights. Tell me just a little about it.
Well, it's a contemporary story about a marriage, a good marriage that gets a bit lost. A bit is an understatement. But I've been married 17 years, and I wanted to write about a marriage, not mine, but one that has some things in common with the marriages that I know of, including mine. And I just wanted to explore in a comedic and yet sometimes painful way the fragility and the resilience of a marriage.
I saw just yesterday that you plan to write, produce, and direct the movie version of The Heights. Can you talk about it?
Yes, I actually thought I would also do the camera work, the costume, and play all the parts.
Yeah, I saw in Variety was saying it better be a good one because you'll have nobody but yourself to blame if it doesn't succeed.
Well,
that was cool.
Increasingly, that's how it is anyway. No, I will have other producers on the film, and on my other films I haven't been officially listed as a producer, but I certainly have worked in a producerial capacity. So that there's nothing new here for me other than trying to tell this story well. When I wrote the book, I started it in 1998, and it took me a long time to get it right. I didn't expect or not expect to make a film of it. I was just focused on the book of it. But as I came to finish it, I thought about it and was approached by the people at Focus Features, which is one of my favorite film entities out there, and they just made it very appealing that I could make it in a way that I could really have the right kind of control, not too much control, but enough that I feel like I can make it be, I hope, a special film. So I love these characters. I spent so long with them. And to get a chance to turn it into a film, I hope I'll have the same feelings about it the way I do about both the novel and the movie of What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which, although I didn't direct that film, I was very involved in the making of it. And I'm very happy with both. So that's the goal, anyway.
Who would you say are your dream casts for the roles of Tim and Kate? Can you talk about that?
You know, I sincerely mean this, that I would love Donna Reed to be Kate, but Donna Reed right after It's a Wonderful Life, right before From Here to Eternity. I'm serious. I think she's really interesting. She would have been great, but she's
sad. And an Iowa gal.
Yes, I know, from Denison, actually. She's just, but I don't have anyone in mind yet. I really haven't begun to think about it. And that's not me being coy and evasive. I really don't know. I mean, there are certainly a lot of young actresses and actors that I admire. I mean, you know, Reese Witherspoon's fantastic. Anne Hathaway's great. I'm a big fan of Michelle Williams, this girl who just did An Education. Carrie Mulligan, I think, you know, by the time I make this movie, maybe the perfect age. I think the bigger question for me is, like, who will be Anna Brody? And I just have no idea. Anna Brody's the character who moves into this neighborhood, who is, you know, really stops the town, gets everybody talking. And she's just not like anybody I've ever met. But I certainly had a lot of fun imagining her.
You put Katie Holmes on the map with Pieces of April.
Oh, I wouldn't say I put her on the map. The one thing I was fortunate to do with Katie was that she's a girl with a lot of talent. She's a lot more talented than I think Dawson's Creek allowed her to demonstrate. And I was lucky to catch her at a moment when she was really willing, and I think you'll see with her upcoming choices of what she's choosing to be in, that she's maintained this kind of sense of wanting to push herself. She just showed up and was really game, and we made that film for $300,000. We had no money, and the conditions were less than ideal, and she was such a trooper. And in fact, we lost our financing 3 times, and then I reduced her salary, we did, from, you know, a pretty fair amount to $100 a day, and she worked 8 days. And, you know, everybody who worked on the film owns a little piece of the movie, so it turned out to be a little more than that. But she was there for the work, and I feel all the luckier for it.
Yeah, but she got free turkey.
She did. In fact, when I last saw her, I said, "So what's Thanksgiving like in your house?" She said, "Well, I'm not so big on the turkey anymore." I mean, we had 16 turkeys for that movie. That was our biggest expense, was the turkeys.
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Well, you do wear a lot of hats. You're author, filmmaker, screenwriter, director, playwright. Would you say there is one of the hats that fits the best, and why?
Well, I would say writer. I mean, I may be writing a novel, or I may be writing a play, or not plays so much anymore, but a novel or a screenplay. But I really see myself as a writer. I have a sweet office a few blocks from my house. I walk to it every day. I almost have a time clock. I put clock in at 9, and I'm home by 5:30 or 6, and I write 5 days a week. And but I'm a writer, and what I'm looking for are stories that I should tell. You know, I don't think I could tell any story. But I think there are certain stories that align with my sensibility, whatever that is, but you know, that I connect with, or I feel this urgent need to tell. And the stories that I feel that urge for, that I also hope that it have some use in the world, that may not be for everybody, but maybe for enough people, those are the stories I set out to tell. So that would, I guess I'm a writer, and who sometimes directs. I was also a very good mime in high school, and I dream of doing mime again one day.
Maybe there's an outlet for you somewhere.
Oh, I'm going to find a way. I'm telling you, the next time we talk, I won't even be talking. It will be the most frustrating interview.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's going to be
ask me questions,
lousy radio.
And I will say, I wish you could see the mime I'm doing right now.
I do want to ask you before I go, were you aware of the controversy back here in Iowa in the town of Carroll back in 2006?
Yes.
they banned Gilbert Grape
No.
because of the sexual content.
Yes.
What were your thoughts when that was all going on? I guess you were in New
Well,
York then.
I mean, I look, I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I've just written a book, The Heights, which is even dirtier than Gilbert Grape. And, you know, I don't allow my kids to read The Heights. I understand parents who are upset that their kids are being exposed to material that may seem premature. At the same time, I felt that the school had taken all the proper precautions, given people an opportunity to not read the book. So I thought it was a lot of about nothing in a way, and I feel like on another level, you know, between what we read in the paper about the prominent people who are misbehaving, I mean, for instance, in New York recently, we had the text messages of a certain famous golfer, you know, published on the front of the paper. It's very hard to protect your kids from all that goes on in the world. And ultimately, the novel Gilbert Grape isn't about a few sexual encounters that you can point out. It's really a story about a guy making his way through the world. Anna Quinlan, one of the great writers that I've ever read, who was a great essayist for the New York Times, even put it on the list of one of the 10 books that helps a teenager feel less alone in a book she published on reading. And so I guess I understand the trouble, but I also felt that the school had really done a really good job of taking care of it. And in fact, after that was all over, I sent a bunch of copies of the book to the school because the students prevailed, and I was proud of them for fighting for their right to read, you know, and in this case, read Gilbert Grape.